Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being aired for July 23rd, 2022. And we're going to look at some very interesting questions that have been posed to me that are really, in my opinion, way out of the box, maybe even for my pay grade as a person. I love reading and learning about so many aspects of this world and this life. Where does life come from? This is the question that I have been, challenged by a couple of listeners, and I'm very grateful for their question. I'm going to try to answer them as honestly as I possibly can. I need to preface this with the idea that you have to understand this question, where does life come from, is right now a matter of speculation and opinion in the scientific community. Neil Tyson, he gets into it. I've read many of his books. Of course, there's Isaac Newton. He talked about things like this. Pascal did. We've had many, 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 many great teachers or scientists. Charles Darwin, Archimedes. These are people who got involved in the theoretical and the scientific aspect of it. So the first question comes from Alan. And he says, where is this? In mid-America, that's what he puts it. And he goes into this litany of scientific information about the origins of life here on Earth, yada, yada, yada. And he concludes the idea that there is a God. And he admits that he is a Christian. So his, his point of view is rather tainted with religion. But he says, if there is no God, as you say, meaning me, where does life come from? And can you prove it? And do you have any suggestions, Alan? Alan, I am semi-interested in the idea of the origins of life. And there are a lot of people who get really hung up on it, and they use it as a platform for their nihilism. So I am not a nihilistic person just because I don't feel that there is this traditional religious God that is a man in the image and likeness of a man, and that he created the world in 7 days and all of that other biblical stuff. I'm sorry, I just can't go there with that. I also can't go with a lot of scientific information that has been given. Neil Tyson does okay with it with me. I've read his books. They're kind of interesting. I admire his intellect and how he tries to put things together, but he has his falling off point too, as I feel most of us do. I do too. I have a falling off point. So let me just say this. The book I would recommend, or the books I would recommend, are more, if you're going to get into the scientific realm, are going to be more in the line with Yuval Noah Harari. His book, Sapiens, is a tremendous book. And Homo Deus is a fabulous book. And then if you want to get into the nitty-gritty of the psychology of us and the biology of us, which is a part of how we create the idea and the notion of creation, then I will bow to Behave is just such a difficult book for people to read. Honestly, it is. I've read it 9 times now. I'm on my ninth thing. Robert Sapolsky is the author. He is a brilliant man. I mean, brilliant in intellect. Just brilliant. So where did life originate? Where did it come from? I like what Harari says. I really do. Yuval appeals to me because he is not teaching absolutes and he isn't surmising. He talks about the fact that we are animals and that we kind of evolved out of this animalistic point of view, but really we're still just animals, basic in our nature to survive, ruthless in our need to kill. And I kind of go with that insight because the history of humankind is more interesting to me than the source of humankind. And I can't go into that source because it is not a revelation for me. If you want to know my deepest feeling about it currently, this is currently, there is a source, and where the origins of this source is everywhere. It's in all things. It's in everything. This origin creates, and it unfolds according to its own nature. I do not know the plan it has because I don't feel it has a plan. I don't surmise what it is and how it's going to work and what's going to happen to people and what's going to happen to this earth. I just don't go there. That's not my interest. My interest is more in understanding the nature of the animal that I live in and whether or not I choose to identify with that animal as the state of the totality of my life. That's the way I look at it. I am not here to denigrate you, Alan, because you believe in a God. It doesn't matter to me what you believe in. The facts of life, the reality of life is not here on earth. This is a small part of a much greater, bigger picture than Gregory Edward Penn could ever comprehend in his puny little intellect. So I don't go there. I am a man who has reached a certain place of consciousness, and I am willing to sacrifice whatever I have to sacrifice to awaken more and more into this, which I have and do. And that's it. I am not interested in where did this all happen from? What is this all about? What are we doing here in the sense of our biology, our animalistic nature? I'm sorry. I'm just not interested in that. That doesn't mean anything to me. It's not pertinent to my awakening. So I don't delve too much into Gregory because he has a limited acuity, a limited mindset. He is prejudiced about the whole idea of reality. For instance, I grew up in a religion, Unity, and became a Unity minister based on the fact that they, when I was younger, I wanted to hear God is good, and that's what it's all about, you know, and I'm all right with that when I was younger. As I grew older, as I started to speak more and more to crowds and people, I started to realize this is not enough. This is not what it's really all about. This could not be the end all of what teaching love is all about. It's all about love, Alan. Honestly, it is. And if that is the source of life, then that's the source of life. If you can't buy that, if you need a more scientific approach to it, a more Neil Tyson approach, then okay, I'm fine with that. I do what you need to do. For me, I am interested only in where I'm at currently and the sense of the bigger picture of immortality moves me very deeply. And I have found in my own insights that It has to do with love, that we are here on this earth to return to the source that is love, that we have strayed away from because we've gotten inoculated with this idea that we are human beings, we are animals, and we should act and live as such, which makes us ruthless, unkind, and without any sense of compassion. So if you can accept my answer, I hope that it will help you understand where I'm coming from. I am not trying to explain myself in a way which makes me appear to be an authority. Everybody is their own authority. And you and I come to conclusions about what we're here for and what we're doing here on Earth based on whatever most people have as an assumption, an opinion, a conclusion that their mental acuity, their psychology can withstand and hold. I am not one of those people. I don't want to teach you, and I also don't want to experience merely what Gregory can understand and experience through his mental acuity. There is a consciousness, there is a life that is beyond the grasp of our mental acuities, all of us. And if we pursue it in the light of meditation, in the light of the language of life, which is, in my estimation right now, silence, then all the silly questions that Gregory Penn has about what he thinks is important will just drift away. And the things that are pertinent and really important come into cognition. And that's the way I live my life, and that's the way I operate as a teacher. I am not here to offer philosophy or religion or some kind of hocus-pocus stuff that tells you that you can have everything you want and you are here to, your divine right is prosperity and all that other crazy stuff that people like to hear. I am here to help you understand the nature of the source that lives within you. I'm here to help you pursue that if you're interested. I have many things that have worked on me, on some of my students that have tried it. But you have to understand, you have to have great courage, because everything that you believe in, everything you think is true, is going to be proved one way or another as false. I found that within myself. All the things that Gregory thought were absolutes dissolved in the face of consciousness. You start to really realize nothing is the way you think it is. And if you go on thinking, you're going to miss this whole glorious experience and what it's really all about, and that'll be the end of that, and basically the end of your life. And people die long before their physical death. They die because they're always thinking about what they want, what this is all about, and their competition. They live from the animal, as Havari says. And I agree with him on everything. I think that it is important to see things for the way they are and not the way maybe I would like them to be. Neil Tyson does the same thing. I like what he's working from a point of view of science, science that we know. He runs into conclusions. He trips over his own ideas sometimes or whatever, but he's basically pretty honest. And he'll say, you know, I don't know. And there's a lot of things I don't know. And Zen, only don't know, is the key point to everything. Because when I don't think I know, that's when I can find, I can realize, I can awaken. So the only thing keeping me from the real truth of what you're, you know, talking about here with me in your question is, can I let go of what I think I know and let go of the fear of what I might find out? And that is an important insight. I gotta go. Thank you for your beautiful question, Alan. And there's going to be a part two to this tomorrow, and I hope you'll tune in. Please forgive me. Namaste.